Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Not Fair. In Bill Gates' book, Business at the Speed of Thought, he lays out 11 rules that students do not learn in high school or college, but should. He argues that our feel-good, politically correct teachings have created a generation of kids with no concept of reality who are set up for failure in the real world. And I'm not going to read you the 11, but the first rule, life is not fair. Get used to it. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And you say, well, that can't be true. Look at the world. There is something, there's a little three-letter word called sin. And you'd be amazed what is traceable to that little word. No sin, no unfairness, no injustice, nothing in the garden the way God intended it. And then sin enters the picture. That was not God's doing. And I'll get to the verses in a minute. You say, well, I didn't screw up. Some Adam guy who I've never met, you know, talking to animals in the first place, that's a problem. You know, he's talking to a snake and the snake talks, you know, what is that? And so because of that crazy story, now we're all stuck with sin, you say, and then sin creates all these problems, all this injustice, and I don't like it. It's not fair. We'll get to that. Go to 2 Chronicles 19. 2 Chronicles 19, 7. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. So you say, oh, I'm going to do this for God. Now, this is a big deal for some people because they are told you can buy God off. And religions create this mess. And if you go and you've screwed up and you write a check, a big check, you can get some time knocked off in a bad place and we'll negotiate on your behalf. There's nothing in the Bible about that. You cannot pay God off. You can't bribe him. You can't say, hey, I'll do this if you'll do that. The nature of the relationship that is available and possible with him is a gift, present, here, take it or leave it, understand why it is made possible, why it is always expensive, and you either say, yes, thank you, and take it, or you say, no, thank you, and walk away. But you can't say, okay, God, I gave money to the church, and now I'm going to get into heaven. If you're riding that train, it's going nowhere. So please to those people who think, I gave a little money, so I'm good. None is good but God, and nothing you're going to do is going to get you where you deserve heaven. Go to Psalm 73. Keep going to the right. Now, we're probably going to read this whole psalm to give you a taste of what this can feel like. And in this case, an individual writing a psalm of Asaph here, and he is expressing in writing what he's feeling, what's going on, what he's observing, and how this inequity, this unfairness is eating him up. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Now, why? He said, well, he's pure in heart. God's good to those. But something happened to him. Next verse. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Like these people that are boastful, they're prosperous, and it seems like they have no issues, no problems. Now, you'll see in a minute, what you see and what is reality are not always the case, and even what you see and what ends up happening when the crop comes in, sometimes you're not there for that. But it is very frustrating, and sometimes our heart cries out to God, and we say, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I follow you. I'm doing what you said to do, and I'm getting hammered down here. And these people who care nothing about you, they have no interest in anything of God, mock you, boast about how great they are. They do whatever they want to do. And it looks like you bless them and ditch me. What is going on? Keep reading. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. What a great picture. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, and this is what he hears them saying, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? What does he know? How does God know? And what does he know? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. Now look at where he goes. I'm doing all this. I've cleansed my heart in vain. It doesn't do any good. And wash my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generations of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation. As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. So what does this get down to? God says he's fair, that he's not bribable, and none of these things are true. So you say, well, but it's not fair. It doesn't look right. You have to start with him, not the inequity, but with God himself and say, okay, God, I don't understand everything I see. I don't know why this seems to happen, but I am going to draw near to you. I'm going to pull in close and listen to what you have to say, and I am going to trust you. You say, but I'm still in the same body. I'm still in the same skin. It's still not fair. At some point, if you trust him, you cannot live the rest of your life screaming about unfairness. You have to get on with it no matter what it is. Let me read you a poem I found. And the picture I saw of this poem, it's just scribbled. Some little kid wrote this out. These are my braces. They set me free, but these are my braces. They are not me. Without my braces, I sit in my chair. Without my braces, life is not fair. But put on my braces and I'm just like the others. Put on my braces and I run like my brothers. Well, not exactly. I'll have to admit, no. Well, not exactly, because I have polio. So some little kid. You go, he's got every reason in the world to be upset and complain. Life's not fair. No, you don't. You can. You say, oh, you're being harsh, some poor kid with polio. At some point, you wake up and say, this is who I am. This is where I am. This is my body. This is my life. And I am either going to screw it up, complaining, whining, and what's not right, or I'm going to say, God, do I know you? Do you know me? Can I trust you? And then let's do everything we can from there, not make excuses about why it's not fair. You say, but you don't understand. We all got stuff. And maybe yours makes perfect sense. I get that. But when you go to God and you say, okay, God, I don't get all this, but I do get you and I do trust you. And I know that if I let you live in me and through me, then there's no stopping us. You say, well, why did God make me this way? I don't know. But what are you going to do about it? Now, I am an advocate of this. If you stink and can bathe, bathe. Don't be blaming that on God. Oh, people reject me. If you stink, they're going to avoid you. Okay, you say, well, that seems like a crass thing. Some people stink. Now, some people don't have access to bathing, but if you do and you don't, that's on you. Oh, people don't seem to like me. Well, why don't you ask a simple question? Why do you not want to be around me? Because you stink, dude. Now you look in the mirror. You say, I don't like what I see. Can you do anything about it? The Bible says that bodily exercise profits little, but it doesn't say it doesn't profit. So you sit stuff in your face every day, look in the mirror and don't like what you see. It's not unfairness. It's you stuff in your face. Whew, glad that's over. Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Now, just that sentence alone. What are you thinking? Now, God's been putting up with, you know, a lot for a long time. I mean, just start with Adam and Eve from scratch. They sin, and what's the first? They start blaming. Oh, it's the woman you gave me. This is your fault. Because if you hadn't given me this woman by myself, I never would have ended up here. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? You think, well, that's absurd. You don't have clay looking up at a potter who's going, I'm not really liking what you're doing with me here. Could we do something else? It's a piece of dirt, some clay, and it's molded in whatever way the potter says this is what's going down. Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out to the heavens and all their host, I have commanded. So when you look at God and say, I don't like this. This isn't fair. You know, at some point you say, well, he can tolerate that. You can't do that the rest of your life. Or you will lose your life. You will waste your life complaining. You say, but you don't know where I come from. I'm listening. I'm having conversations. We had a great men's meeting the other day and talked about the simplicity in a track with me, the simplicity of this. I'm a white man. Those of you on the radio don't know that. I am white. I've said it publicly now. So I'm sitting with a black guy, and a black guy says something about Black Lives Matter. And what do a lot of white guys say? Well, don't all lives matter? That's not even the point. And then the black guy goes, you're not listening. Yeah, I am. You just brought up this group. It's not the group. It's the idea. And even that guy may say, I don't agree with all their tactics or any of their tactics. What I would like to experience is if I try to tell you where I am coming from, where I've been, what my experience is, if you just shut up and listen and acknowledge it, and then we go on. You can't fix it. I don't expect you to understand. But just listen. And then the guy gets listened to, and he goes, wow, you listen. Like, yeah, I love you. You're my brother. I can't imagine what that's like. Now, at some point, when you've been heard and you are comforted and you realize it's not right, it's not fair, you at some point have to move on. You cannot be an angry black man, black woman, Hispanic, white person, Asian, whatever you are, the rest of your life and get where God wants you to go. It's not fair. Okay, it's not fair. Then let God do what he can do. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could ever ask or think. So you wake up and look in the mirror. You thought, you know, I went to bed black. I woke up black. You're black. So look in the mirror and go, wow, this isn't going to change, is it, God? No. So what are you going to do with me? Get out of the way and watch. I can reach a certain number of people. I can't reach everybody. We had another men's meeting, came in, and I started talking about slavery and masters and that we as Christians are slaves. And this one guy in the church brought a black friend of his head almost spun off of his shoulders. The idea of slaves and masters and all that going. You know what? When it was over, I was not the person to sit down and talk to him. Another godly, mature African-American gentleman sat down and talked him through that. I could have tried. It's not best. It was better for that. I got brown eyes. I wish I had blue eyes. Get you some contacts and get on with it. You know, my gosh. What are you going to get, a transplant? Oh, I'm an eye donor because if anyone wants my brown eyes when I die, they can have them. No, they might just need eyes. Why don't you be grateful you have eyes? Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 19. Similar thing that we just read. You will say to me then, Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Matthew 27. Go back over to Matthew. I normally don't jump in that way, but we'll go back to Matthew 27. Go back to the left. Now, I'm about to broach a subject of ultimate not fairness. And this is for anyone that thinks the world is not fair and you're not a Christian yet. You have no personal, you believe there's a God even maybe, but you have no personal relationship with him. Then if you are a fairness person and not a Christian, this is about to light you up. Because the most unfair thing that has ever happened in the history of the world is what happened to Jesus of Nazareth. If you understand who he is and understand that he is God's son, his only son, and the only way to save mankind, he is not a way, he is the way. And the only way to save us was for the only son to come in, sinless, God in a man, born of a virgin, sinless life, dies on a cross, buried and raised from the dead. It's not fair. You should be outraged at that. Even if you don't trust him for heaven or for anything else, you should be outraged that that happened if that's who he is. Because he did not deserve it. Look at Matthew 27, 19. Jesus has been arrested. Palm Sunday's already happened. The week's unfolded. And it goes down. They have the Lord's Supper, the last Passover meal together. Judas betrays him. He's arrested. He's beaten. It's all going down. And he's taken before Pilate. And in Matthew 27, 19, while he was sitting, Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat. His wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that, what? Just man. He is not just a man. He is a just man. She had had a dream and was tormented by this and came and warned her husband, get away from him. You're in a bad, this is not a good thing. He is a just man. That by itself should tell you something. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Don't just hurt him, destroy him. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. So he's trying to say, I am innocent. I am not making this call. You go do that if that's what you're going to do. But I am innocent, basically, of this innocent man's blood, his life. Go to Luke 23. We've read this recently. Luke 23, verse 39. Jesus hanging on the cross. One criminal's on either side. Conversation ensues on the cross. Verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanging blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? Dude, you're about to die too. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. In other words, it is not unjust for us to die. We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And I don't even know if he comprehended what he just said. He was completely right. He had done nothing wrong. Sinless. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He believed him. He trusted in him. Romans 5. Okay, just listen. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Another therefore in verse 12, and this is where it is not fair. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and this is what I referred to earlier with Adam, you say, it's not my fault, it's Adam. But when Adam sinned, the dominoes dropped on all of us. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. You pay for sin, you can't pay for salvation. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, okay, so you say, all right, well, Adam screwed up and we all pay the consequence, then this is even more so true. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So Adam sins and it screws it up for everybody, but Jesus shows up and he makes life possible for everybody. So you say, well, I'm tired of living the consequence of Adam. It's not fair. Then get you some new consequence. Get you some Jesus. And then he changes everything from the inside out. One more, and I'd go read the rest of Romans 5, the rest of the Bible, and it'll all make sense. 2 Corinthians 5, go there really quick. And for me, this crystallizes how horrible this is. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and this is talking about God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So people say, well, what's so, you know, Jesus was crucified. A lot of people were crucified. The worst of the last week of his life was not the beatings, was not being crucified. The worst of it all is that he who knew no sin didn't just take on sin. It says he became sin for us. So think about everything you've ever done, thought, you think nobody knows, you think even God doesn't know. And before you were ever born, he knew you would be born. He knew everything you would do, and he even knows what you haven't done yet. And all the sin you haven't even committed yet. When he died taking on all of that sin, not on himself. He literally became sin and then died paying the price. The only one who could dies in your place, my place. And because of that, now I'm offered eternal life. Let me tell you something. That's not fair. We should feel horrible for Jesus. That should be just mind-bogglingly. You say, well, I'm a person of justice. That's not fair. Then get upset about that. Because when you get upset about that, then you finally realize it's not everybody's sin. It includes everybody, not you. It's you too. It's me. It's my sin that got him killed.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, the worst case scenario is you say, wow, that is an injustice. If he really is the Son of God, he lived a sinless life, dies on the cross, buried, raised from the dead. It's not fair. It's not just. It's terrible. And then you leave it at that. That's a complete waste. If you realize what he did and you realize he did it for you, then get on the deal, even if you think it's not fair. Not fair for him. Crazy unfair for us to be able to be the recipients of that kind of mercy. But just because you can't get your head around it and think it's not fair, don't walk away from it. Humble yourself. Bow before him and say, this is insane.
You died for me before I was ever born to make this relationship with you possible. I feel horrible for you, Jesus. But I'm going to feel worse for me if I turn your deal down. So yeah, Adam screwed it all up, but you made fixing it possible. So I'm going to accept, as unfair as it seems, I'm going to accept your payment when you died in my place, and I'm going to get in on this. I believe that you died for me, that you were buried, raised from the dead, you're alive. All my enemies you've conquered. So I want to trust you. There are things in my life that are not fair, but nothing compared to the unfairness that he withstood.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.